You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. That's right. This is Radioactive Magazine, and the views you will hear are those of the guests and the interviewers and so, alone, and are not the official position of KKFI, the Mid-Coast Radio Project, or any of its officers or staffs or other volunteers. So we will be talking with Joe Lombardo, co-founder and coordinator of the United National Anti-War Coalition, and a conference being planned for April 5 through 7 in St. Paul, Minnesota, discussing decolonization and the fight against imperialism. UNAC is a coalition of over 50 organizations co-sponsored in the ongoing genocide in Gaza and the continuing imperialist war in Ukraine. I'm Spencer Graves. Chris Mann is helping with this interview, and so let's start. Joe, you are a member of the, am I correct? You are a member of the Troy Area Labor Council in Troy, New York, which is part of the New York Capital District surrounding the state capital of Albany?
That's true, I am.
Great. So is there anything
Joe,
else?
How did you get started?
Go ahead.
Sorry about the two questions, but how did you get started and involved in anti-war work?
Well, I've been an anti-war activist pretty much all my life. I was actually a staff person during the Vietnam War on the National Peace Action Coalition, which was one of the major coalitions that organized the large protests that took place during the Vietnam War. And I've been against war ever since, and actually from before then. At that point, I was a college student and had been organizing against the war on my campus. And a number of us of my age at the time were eligible for the draft. So it became a more urgent position for a lot of us, but I've been an anti-war activist ever since.
Okay, so
what has kept you active beyond the Vietnam War?
Well, events, pretty much. After that period, there was a period when I was raising my children and so forth, and I wasn't as active. But then once we got involved in Afghanistan and Iraq, I kind of was jumped into the fray once again, because if you're against war, you can't sit still when you see activity like that. And so we organized locally here where I live in upstate New York, our local committee in a town of Bethlehem outside of Albany, which is Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace. And it's been going ever since. And at one point we were asked if we could sponsor a national conference. And that's where UNAC was formed. We sponsored a national conference in Albany of 800 people. And UNAC was born at that conference, and that was in 2010.
Okay. And so you had annual conferences ever since?
Well, we've had them every other year, except
every other year.
Uh-huh. We did miss 2022 because of the pandemic. So we haven't had one since 2020, and that last one was in New York City. This is actually the first time we've tried to do something in the Midwest, and we had no idea how it would go. But there are very strong anti-war groups in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area that are members of UNAC, and they were doing some great work and were anxious to help organize a conference in their area. And so we tried it, and it seems to be working well. We're getting a very large registration, mostly from the Midwest, which is interesting because in the past, our bases were on either coasts. So this is a very interesting experience for us.
Sounds like a wise choice. The title of this conference is Decolonization and the Fight Against Imperialism. How was that title selected?
Well, I think after a while, when you start understanding a little bit about how, the wars that have been fought, you start to see there's reasons for them. And we characterize that as imperialism. We believe, one of the leading groups within UNAC is the Black Alliance for Peace. And they have always characterized Europe and the North America and North America as the places that have been starting the wars, and they call those the white supremacist areas. But it has to do with colonialization. Those areas became rich through colonizing the rest of the world through the slave trade that took place. And after a while, they maintained that through a different kind of imperialism, a financial imperialism, where groups like the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund impose very harsh economic conditions as a condition for loans. And this has kept the Third World and the Global South in kind of a underdevelopment all of their life, the inability to develop. They use a large portion of their gross domestic product just to pay back and service these loans. And that is maintained by the US forces that are all over the world to ensure that what they call the rules-based society, but nobody's ever voted on any of those rules, stays in place. And so the United States has forces in around 180 countries. It has 20 times the number of foreign military bases as all other countries in the world. And the second biggest country with military bases is Britain, which is a US ally. And the third biggest is France. And that comes from their industrial pasts also. So these are some of the reasons. And we wanted to point out the importance of understanding imperialism for the anti-war movement and colonialization. Because you see, especially in Africa right now, where countries are breaking out away from their old colonial masters, this is causing a lot of conflict. And this is one of the causes for recent wars, in our opinion.
Right. So
Joe, there's over 50
go ahead.
organizations that are co-sponsoring or taking part
Yes.
in the conference. Give us a sense of some of the groups.
Well, a lot of them are national groups. Chris is, for instance, a member of the Green Party Peace Action Committee. Veterans for Peace is another one. Code Pink is another one. Black Alliance for Peace. International Action Committee. Popular Resistance. Number of others who I've had. I'm not thinking. I can read down the list if you'd like me to tell you some of those
Probably
other
not,
groups.
but
No, that's okay.
from sea to
But
shining sea, in any case, right?
well, Arab Americans for Syria, American Muslims for Palestine, Bayan USA, which is a coalition of Filipino groups, as well as local groups like Bronx Anti-War Coalition, Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace, which I'm involved with, and many, many others.
So what's your representation from Kansas and Missouri?
I don't know without looking it up, to tell you the
Okay,
truth.
that's fine. Talk about the goals of the conference.
Well, we really think that what we're going through a period of very rapid growth and extreme importance for the anti-war movement. It's the first time in a number of years that we've been able to pull off mass demonstrations in places like Washington, D.C., and it's around the Palestinian issue. But we believe during this period, both U.S. imperialism, Zionism, have been exposed to the world in ways that they hadn't before. The U.S. has become totally isolated. And for instance, it voted almost alone to oppose a ceasefire in Gaza, where even some of its strong supporters and allies voted for a ceasefire. It's hard to not to vote for a ceasefire when you see what the International Court of Justice has termed a probable genocide going on. But the United States managed to do that. So people are starting to understand, I think, in a way they haven't in recent years anyway, the nature of the United States and U.S. imperialism and of Zionism. And it's given a new heightened political consciousness. And we think it's an important time for us to evaluate the period that we're going through right now and try to project what we might be able to do in the future. And some ideas have come out around this. There are people who will be at our conference who will be organizing protests at both of the political conventions, because we think both of the political parties are war parties right now. NATO is coming to the United States for its set to celebrate its 75th anniversary in July, and UNAC, along with other groups, will be organizing a protest and an alternative summit to the, theirs will be the war summit, ours will be the peace summit. Last time they came to the United States was in Chicago in 2012, I believe it was, and UNAC was the primary organization that organized the protest there, which turned out to be the largest protest against NATO at any time, including those that have been taking place in Europe and other areas of the world. So those are some of the things that we want to do, some of the activities into the future. But basically what we want to do is bring together groups, even if we have some differences on some issues, on what we agree on in a united front way. We think if we can work together in coalition, that we will be able to build the anti-war movement to a new, stronger force. And that's really what we want to do with this conference.
Good. So your audience here to, is primarily Kansas and Missouri, roughly 50-50. So why might people from Kansas and Missouri benefit from attending your conference?
Well, you know, we have a tremendously large military budget and military industrial complex in the United States. Almost 60 cents out of every discretionary tax dollar goes to the military. We think that money would be better used for healthcare. We still don't have a universal healthcare system in this country. Almost every other country does, including poor countries. We think it would be better used on education. Most countries these days have free higher education. The richest country in the world, the United States, can't do that. If we want to address the problems that the common working people are confronted with in the United States, we can't do it with building the kind of military that we are doing. And of course, the military has been responsible for millions of deaths. They say as many as 1.5 million maybe died in the Iraq War. Two-fifths of the country were made refugees, internal and external refugees. In Vietnam, 4 million Vietnamese were killed. So millions have been killed. In the Congo, there's been wars that have been stoked by the United States, and 6 million people have died in those wars. Millions of people have been killed and are being slaughtered, just like we've seen on our television screens right now in Gaza. It's just a horror. I mean, there's been genocides before, but this is the first one that we're seeing on our television screens and our computer screens, and people are horrified by it. And yet the politicians and the powers that be are not horrified. They can go along with their, pragmatic politics and say what they want, but I can't understand why these politicians are not enraged by what they're seeing because the people are enraged. And I think that divide between the political reality in the United States and what the people are starting to do in the streets and starting to understand can make a dichotomy that can maybe change us in a much better world. Well, that's the reason why people in the area that might hear this radio show should come to the conference and should get involved in the anti-war movement. It is for all of our benefits.
Great. I just have to say the reason I'm at KKFI is because the major media in the U.S., you get the impression that we can kill that many people without making enemies. So how can our listeners find out more information about this conference?
Well, there's a website, conference website. It's called unacconference2024.org, is it? Or maybe it's net. I don't know.
In any
but
case,
it's org.
It's org. But you also can go straight to the UNAC website, and that will get you there. The UNAC website is unacpeace.org. And so those are the two ways to do it.
And both of those URLs, web addresses, are in the description of this episode at kkfi.org. Click News and Public Affairs, then Radioactive Magazine. Then you can find this episode. We are visiting with Joe Lombardo about a conference being planned for April 5 to 7 of the United National Anti-War Coalition, or UNAC. So what is your understanding, Joe, of the role of the media in helping create and perpetuate the issues being discussed in your conference?
Well, you know, I'm not a young person, and I never liked the corporate media very much, but I've never seen it as bad as it is right now. I mean, the propaganda that is directed at us at all times, it's hard to believe, you know. I mean, there's no investigative reporting anymore. It's basically just reading the, as if they were stenographer notes from the State Department on national and international politics. Local politics might be different, and they're okay on talking about gossipy type news of what celebrity died and so forth. But on everything else, there's a political slant to it. And that political slant, when you start studying the reality and the situation that exists in the world, seems to be the wrong one. So I don't have a lot of faith in the corporate media these days.
Chris.
And Joe, if you don't mind, Spencer wrote a poem about the media in March of 2023. If you don't mind a little break, that he would read part of this poem.
Okay with me.
Le Monde Diplomatique, a year ago, in plain French for all to read, proclaimed, 1 year after the invasion of Ukraine, the media, vanguard of the war party. No journalists allowed, only cheerleaders and propagandists for the merchants of death. No politicians honestly concerned with national security, only cheerleaders and propagandists for the merchants of death. No one needs government secrecy used to stampede the public and elected officials into counterproductive uses of military force. No one needs government officials who lie to Congress and the public, while people who expose those lies rot in jail like Manning and Hale. I took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Manning and Hale were true to that oath, while government leaders betrayed that oath, while the major media gave them no option. Betray the nation or do not get elected, while Manning and Hale rot in jail. So a link to the full poem, again, is available to the description of this episode in the description of this episode of Radioactive Magazine at kkfi.org, as I previously said. So
that's great, Spencer. Let's not forget Julian Assange also.
Yeah. Well, but he didn't quite fit
in. He doesn't rhyme.
Didn't fit in the rhyme exactly right. And the poem was written. Yeah, exactly right. No question. I've got another piece That asked for a congressional gold medal for Julian Assange and Manning and Hale and Ben Ellsberg and several others. So, right, not just let's not prosecute Assange. He needs a congressional gold medal because it is, but the major media don't want that. So, right. So the website for this conference mentions Gaza, Ukraine, and the U.S.-China competition. Talk about those.
Well, I've been to Ukraine twice. There was a lot of propaganda around Ukraine in this country. But when I was there because I was invited at one point by people from Odessa, because every May 10th, they commemorated the killing of people after the coup in 2014. That's when the war really started, in 2014. It wasn't in 2022. 14,000 people were killed since 2014, when there was a U.S.-sponsored coup that took place there. But people who were protesting that coup in Odessa were met by a gang of fascists, a gang of Nazis, real Nazis. I mean, people who wear swastikas. And they were, 50 of them were murdered and 100 were severely injured. And so they commemorate that massacre each year, and they always get threatened. They would always get threatened by the right wing that they were going to get attacked again. So they always asked for international observers to come. And I was there. And I saw thousands and thousands of people all day long march past the place where this massacre took place and lay flowers. I saw the police stop them from using sound equipment when the parents and family members of those who were killed wanted to speak to the crowd. However, when the Nazis marched through town, they tried to intimidate them and stop this, but they were much smaller than this huge crowd. And they had their own rally, but the police let them use their sound equipment and torchlight rally. And I went to their rally. I, you know, was quivering in my boots a little bit as they were talking about, you know, hang the Russians from the trees and so forth. But that's the reality of what was existing there. It's all the story of the expansion of NATO, even though we promised Russia that we would not expand NATO, of the U.S. building the military in Ukraine from one of the smallest militaries in all of Europe to the strongest and largest military supplied and armed and financed by the United States, with the idea that they would take back the Donbas and that they would take back Crimea, where the people voted to break from that coup, right-wing coup government that banned their language and banned their culture. And so they built that military, and the intention was not to stop at Donbas. If you've read some of the RAND reports and so forth, they wanted to break up Russia into five pieces. They thought with economic sanctions, massive economic sanctions, and a war on their border, that that might happen, but it has not happened that way. And this is another way in which NATO has been weakened and the United States and exposed by what they tried to do in Ukraine. And that's a very important piece of the that needs to be understood, I believe, by the anti-war movement, and is not totally understood. When I go to Palestine rallies, people understand Palestine, but not all of them understand Ukraine. And there is a connection there. It's the same right-wing forces that are on the side of Israel and that are also on the side of Ukraine. And so it's important that the anti-war movement become clear on that and bring that kind of discussion into the developing movement of today.
So talk more about Gaza.
Well, basically, Israel is a colonial settler state, similar to like the Europeans coming here and massacring and destroying the Native Americans. But they did that to the Palestinians. They were the indigenous people that lived there and who lived forever in harmony with all the other religions in the area, including Jewish people. But Zionism is a right-wing nationalist ideology. There's a difference between Judaism and Zionism, as you probably know, and you see all the incredible actions by Jewish Voice for Peace and other Jewish organizations that are distancing themselves from what Netanyahu has been doing. But they are carrying out a genocide. It cannot be clearer. You know, when aid is brought in there, they shoot the people coming for the aid. They shoot the people trying to distribute the aid, as they did yesterday to the people distributing aid, and killed a number of them. They are bombing homes. They're bombing hospitals. They're committing war crimes, one after the other. By the Geneva Accords, it's a war crime to not allow civilians out of a combat area, but they don't allow them out. And it's a war crime to hit hospitals. It's a war crime to hit mosques and churches. It's a war crime to deny people food and water, but they are doing this because it's a genocidal policy to destroy the Palestinians so they can have a solely and a Jewish state. And, you know, instead, what we must call for is a secular state that allows Jews and Palestinians and Muslims and Christians and everybody that wants to live equally there. If you go to you know, the West Bank now, which is supposedly controlled, owned by, it's part of the Palestinian territory, there are Jewish-only roads, and there are checkpoints, and there are walls, and you know, settlers are armed, and they kill people, the Palestinians. They cannot live like that. If anybody thought that situation could exist forever and there would not be an explosion on the part of the Palestinians in some way, which we did see in October 7th, there was such an explosion, but you're not living in reality if you didn't think such an explosion would happen because of all the things that have been done to the Palestinians. But now it's just open genocide. And everybody, whether you're an anti-war activist, if you're human, you have to oppose it. And more they're doing that. You know, I said there were mass demonstrations in this country, but I have been for the last couple of months in Britain. You know, I was part of a demonstration that had 800,000 people in London. And in other parts of the world, there's millions and millions that have turned out in the streets of Jakarta and Jordan and all over the world. And this is part of a worldwide rebellion against this genocide. And our governments are trying to not tell us about it, are trying to ignore it, and are saying we all support Israel.
Our media is not telling us about it, and we are basically out of time. We have been visiting with Joe Lombardo about a conference being planned April 5 through 7 of the United National Anti-War Coalition. The title of the conference is Decolonialization and the Fight Against Imperialism. For more on this, including relevant links, go to kkfi.org, then News and Public Affairs, then Radioactive Magazine, then look for this episode. Tune in next week for a discussion of the upcoming Catholic Worker Faith and Resistance Retreat, April 12 to 15, here in Kansas City, and other related other anti-war activities. I'm Spencer Grace. Chris Mann has helped with this interview. Thank you for listening. Oh, Craig LeBeau is at the controls.